This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. She's on medical leave and we cannot wait for her to come back. For today, it is Thursday. And as you may know, every week on Thursdays, we host another installment of our Food for Thought series, which is about cooking or about local restaurants. And today's discussion is an ode to a particular kind of cooking, sheet pan cooking. It's such a great technique, whether you're cooking for a crowd or meal prepping for the week. In fact, I cooked dinner for me and my fiance last night using only sheet pans, so they are very popular. Whether you're watching a tray of veggies develop a roasted char or catching a whiff of herbs or aromas infusing each other with flavor, we here at All of It want to help you perfect this eminently useful way of cooking. And so joining us now to help with that are the folks behind a new cookbook called Hot Sheet. Hot Sheet, Public Radio, sweet and savory sheet pan recipes for every day and celebrations. Please welcome to the studio here with me now, novelist and cookbook author Sinai Lemoine. Hi, Sinai.
Hi.
And Olga Masov, editor with the Washington Post food section and cookbook author. Olga, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. And listeners, we can bring you in on this conversation. What's your favorite thing to cook with a sheet pan? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or hey, you can ask our guests a question to help you perfect the art of sheet pan cooking. It's 212-433-9692. So Sinai, what do you like about cooking with sheet pans enough that you wanted to dedicate a whole cookbook to it?
Well, I've been living in New York for many, many years and have always had small kitchens. And so the sheet pan has been such a lifesaver in terms of just not taking up a lot of space. I can store it above my fridge. They stack really well. They're so easy to transport around the kitchen. I've often had these kitchens that are in the middle of an apartment without any ventilation. And so I've been doing less stovetop cooking and more oven cooking. So I don't have to worry about like all the splatter and fumes that would come from frying, for instance.
And Olga, what are some things you can achieve through sheet pan cooking that you might not be able to achieve maybe on the stovetop?
So I think one of the things that's really beneficial about oven cooking and sheet pan cooking in particular is that you can kind of put it in the oven and you can walk away. And if that means you have to like take the dog out for a minute or, you know, like we have a back porch, we take it out. I don't like actually take a dog for a full walk while my oven's on. You can do other things and you can prep other ingredients, like you can make a salad or you can get something else ready. And it just allows you to have a little bit more hands-off time. It gets you like very even the way the heat is distributed through the oven. You get this very even cooking that you'd have to be a little bit more hands-on and mindful of just, you know, stirring and turning things over.
Yeah, it gives you the ability to free up time, free up mental space.
Absolutely.
Well, Sinai, you write that you grew up with your mom's Japanese cooking, and because ovens were sort of only recently introduced in Japanese kitchens, they weren't a major part of your culinary vocabulary until your 20s, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was more in terms of the sheet pan. I don't think I saw a sheet pan until I started working in a test kitchen or, you know, not using it beyond making cookies or something very basic. So I was in my early 20s at that point. My mom mostly cooks on the stove and it's a lot of pots and pans and it's, you know, kind of the more traditional Japanese meal with many little plates of vegetables and proteins and sides. But I wanted to channel a lot of those flavors and find ways to translate them onto the sheet pan. And in fact, like there are several recipes that worked so beautifully on that vessel.
You know, Olga mentioned that it frees up space and time for you to use a sheet pan. And I'm wondering for you, when you did start using sheet pans more in your 20s, how did it change your relationship to cooking?
Oh, it was incredible. I was working in the test kitchen of a meal kit startup called Marley Spoon, and we were developing very simple recipes, very easy recipes for weeknights. So thinking about just using a couple of ingredients, like roasting maybe a fish and vegetables on a sheet pan. And what I loved so much about it and that surprised me is how beautiful the recipes came out. Like there's something so visually satisfying about seeing all these, you know, colorful ingredients strewn on that wide surface. And we think of the sheet pan as like this very utilitarian, you know, not like it's not like beautiful, perhaps like a gorgeous ceramic casserole. But I would disagree and say that actually it has this potential to create a gorgeous dish.
Listeners, if you have experience with sheet pans, and I'm guessing a lot of us do, give us a call. We're talking about sheet pan cooking prep. We're joined by Olga Masov, who's editor with the Washington Post food section and a cookbook author, and Sinai Lemoine, who's a novelist and cookbook author. They just came out with a new book. It's called Hot Sheet. I love saying that. Hot Sheet, sweet and savory sheet pan recipes for every day and celebrations. And we want to bring you into this conversation. So you can call us, you can text us with your questions or your opinions that have to do with cooking with sheet pans. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We got a question from a texter, and it reads, "Hi, I used to love to cook on a sheet pan, but have moved to a place that has an electric stove, and everything I baked became steamed." Sad face emoji. "Any electric oven tips to help me get back to it?" Hands together emoji. Just want to make sure everyone knows that. Any tips?
So I have an electric stove, not a stove, electric oven. And I think one of the things that would be beneficial to this reader, listener, would be to get an oven thermometer. Mm-hmm. They're very inexpensive. They're about $5. And maybe get two, just to make sure you're looking out for hot spots in your oven. And just kind of gauge if your oven is actually accurate, because it might not be accurate. It might be off. It might be like 25 to 50 degrees off. And this is very common in ovens, by the way. This is something that like most ovens are not that precise. And so I think just getting to know your oven from that standpoint, and I think once you have a temperature gauge, you have a much better understanding of what you need to do. Do you need to up the temperature on your dial to get something to cook a certain way? So that would be my first step. I don't know, Sinai, if you have any.
Yeah, and I think also making sure that you're not overcrowding your ingredients. So, you know, if you're cooking a sheet pan of vegetables, making sure that there's a little bit of space between each ingredient so the air can circulate and you can get that browning. Sometimes if you have too much food on a sheet pan, it can steam, mm-hmm. Just like from releasing that liquid.
And the reader mentioned, or the listener mentioned, an electric oven. Is that different from a convection oven? This is me asking. I'm not sure. What is a convection oven? How does it work? How does the sheet pan make use of it?
A convection oven will have like a certain feature about the way that heat circulates. So a lot of times convection oven, you'll get recipes that will say, you know, with convection oven, you can roast something for X number of minutes less. It just cooks something a little bit faster. That's kind of what air fryers are, like in very simplified parlance. There is a way that heat moves in an electric oven versus a gas oven, for instance, that I think it's just a little different. Still heat, but the way that it circulates is a little different. And I think my suspicion, and I don't know, you know, I haven't seen this oven, but my suspicion is that the oven temperature is off. And I think once, it sounds like this person has had good experience roasting things before and now having a little bit of a hard time. And to me, it sounds like there might be a temperature issue.
Mm. And so, Sinai, can you explain why it's important when doing this type of cooking to also get what you had mentioned before, the placement of the racks, right?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, my oven is a gas oven, and so it heats from the bottom of the oven, and the bottom is always going to be hotter. And so if I want to get some like really intense browning, I will often move the rack to the lower third of the oven. If I want more even cooking, I'll put it in the middle of the oven. And we always specify in our recipes whether the rack should be in the middle or the bottom third or the top third or in two different positions. And, you you know, whether you're moving the sheet pans around so you get more even cooking. I personally love an electric oven because I think it has such even heat. But yes, I'm very envious of Olga's oven.
I hate my oven because it's tilted, and it took me testing recipes for this cookbook to realize that it was tilted towards me. So all my cakes were coming out like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and I could not figure out what was going on. So I had to put a level in it, and it became very, very clear what was the issue.
So it's an intimate relationship with the oven.
Yes.
And I want to go back to something you said to make sure I understand correctly. To get more browning, put it closer to the bottom of the oven.
Yeah. Or wherever your heat source is.
Yes. So if the heat source is from the top, mm-hmm. and if you're using the broiler and your broiler is at the top of the oven, then you would move the sheet pan closer to the heat source.
I've been trying to get brown zucchini for months, and I think I'm going to go tonight and try this out because...
Do you drain it first?
I do drain it,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. Wait, do I? Let me go. You're making me wonder now.
So salt it. Let it like drip a little, right? Because uh-huh. It's so watery. It's like a vehicle for water. So just salt it, drain it, then roast it at high heat.
So if you're just joining us, I am learning a lot and I'm very excited. We're talking to, Olga Massov and Sinai Lemoine about their new book, Hot Sheet, Sweet and Savory Sheet Pan Recipes for Everyday and Celebrations. And we're getting a lot of texts in here. So here we have somebody who wrote, I love the Hot Sheet book. The paella was absolutely fabulous. Somebody else that wrote, baked or roast turkey thighs with five spice flavor. Somebody else wrote, beets with a bit of olive oil. They come out so sweet this way. Listeners, if you have questions or tips about baking with sheets or just working with sheet pans in general, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. And we have another text here that I think is kind of the opposite of what I was talking about. The listener is saying, how do I keep my fish or vegetables from overcooking or drying out? Any ideas?
Well, depends on the vegetable, first of all, right? And depends on what you're doing with the fish. You could slow roast it. You could kind of blast it with heat. You could even broil the fish if you really like. Just we're going for speed and crispy skin. And the vegetables, too. I think it's really, really specific. And Sinai, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think our cookbook covers... We have so many different types of dishes. We have breakfasts, we have, you know, snacks and appetizers, we have desserts, we have main courses, and lots of different produce and lots of different types of fish and other animal protein that kind of gives you an idea of like the differences between what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think for fish especially, we have a couple of recipes in the book that are whole fish, which I know can be a little bit daunting if you've never cooked a whole fish before, but it's the easiest, one of the easiest ways to cook a fish and also to cook a fish that is, in my opinion, perfectly done and not overcooked.
Right.
And my trick is to start checking... at the lowest time range that we provide. So if we say the fish, should be cooked in 15 to 20 minutes, start checking at 15 minutes. If your oven runs really hot, you might want to start checking sooner. And I just see whether the skin from the fish can be lifted off. And like the minute that you can lift it off, you know, with a spoon mm-hmm. or a fork, the fish is done. And so I would recommend trying that for fish.
Well, we hope that works out for the listener, and thank you so much for that text. We have a caller I'd love to get to. Jeanette in Manhattan. Hi, Jeanette. Do you have experience working with sheet pans?
Well, do I? I just finished a meal in my little Breville mini oven. I put a piece of salmon that I tinted in aluminum foil with some Dijon mustard, lemon juice, and dill on top with a drizzle of olive oil.
Yum.
And some chopped shallots, and I add sometimes broccoli or asparagus, even though sometimes that overcooks. What I can do is maybe put that in at the end. But it's terrific. It's 20 minutes on 400 degrees, and you do nothing except enjoy this wonderful piece of salmon with your vegetables. And it's very healthy eating.
I'm so sad no one invited me for this lunch.
It's yeah. So delicious.
Jeanette, that sounds really good. I am noticing that it is 1:20, right around lunchtime. What a great time to be doing this segment. It's also a time for us to take a break. We're talking to Olga Massov and Sinai Lemoine. They are the authors of Hot Sheet, Sweet and Savory Sheet Pan Recipes for Everyday and Celebrations. Listeners, if you want to join us, if you have tips, you have questions about sheet pan, can, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We'll be right back. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar, and we are talking about sheet pans and how you use them and questions you might have for two experts about them. We're joined in studio by Olga Masov, who's an editor with the Washington Post food section and a cookbook author, and Sanai Lemoine, who's a novelist and cookbook author. They just came out with Hot Sheet, Sweet and Savory Sheet Pan Recipes for Everyday and Celebrations. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, shoot us a text. The number's 212-433-9692. And I would love to get into some of the recipes from this cookbook. So you've got recipes that you're eager to share with us. Let's start with the miso maple shallots. Olga, can you tell us a little bit about this dish?
So it's a very, very simple appetizer, or you can serve it as a side. You combine shallots with some butter, with miso paste, with maple syrup. I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. And then you slow roast it for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like, you just kind of cook it until it's like super melty and buttery and really delicious. We served it to, you know, the first time I made it, it was an experiment, and I served it to one of my neighbors, and he was like, "This is unbelievable. I need the recipe for it." And I said, "You can have it. You just can't like share it with anybody." But ever since then, it's become like a fixture. Whenever we have people over, we're like throwing that in the oven. And it's so hands off. It like, you know, it takes like 5-10 minutes to put together, and then you're done.
Our producer tried their hand at making this dish, and their review was that it's incredibly tasty and fairly easy to do, but they also said that their oven isn't totally leveled, and you had mentioned before the break something about leveling. Any tips for that, just to make sure that we bring that back up?
I think, so what I was told is that I can have somebody come in and like re-level it. It's like a built-in the oven. I mean, it's a built-in-the-wall oven. I haven't done that yet because I've just been like distracted and busy and life happens, but it shouldn't really affect savory dishes much. Mm-hmm. I think where it really makes a difference is when you're making cakes or layer cakes. I kept like one of the recipes in the book is a matcha Swiss roll cake, and it would just like kept coming out. Like one end of the cake was just so much thicker than the rest of it. So that's kind of how I figured out, but he should be okay with that, or they.
Let's go to Katie in Manhattan. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm lucky enough to have someone else who does the cooking, but I'm the one who does the dishes. And I feel like I never can get that sheet pan clean. And it just keeps getting dirtier and dirtier. And once, you know, I really took a scrubbing to it and scrubbed it clean. But someone told me you're not supposed to do that, that like the older they get like more seasoned. What is true, clean or seasoned?
So both are true, actually. There are two things are true. You can clean them to your heart's delight, or you can not worry about it and let that, you know, coating build over time. It just depends what your preference is. I think sometimes people think that if you let that patina develop, you're not going to get as good of a result, or you're somehow ruining your sheet pans. You're not ruining your sheet pans. You're just letting sheet pans be sheet pans. And aging is okay for sheet pans, for cheese, for wine, for all of us. And it's fine. But, you know, I have newer sheet pans that are like shiny and lovely and like just kind of saying, "Hi, I'm super new." And I have sheet pans that I've had for almost 20 years. And when I look at the sheet pans I've had for like 20 years, I am filled with so many memories of like all the delicious things that I've eaten on them, that it just makes me so happy. So, and Sanai, do you want to talk about the photo, when we had the photo shoot for the book, like the sheet pans we loved?
Yeah, I mean, when we were shooting this book, our photographer loved the sheet pans that had more wear and tear and that had kind of those burnished edges. And one thing that I do in my household is that I have two sets of sheet pans. I have the slightly more pristine ones that I use for baking, like if I want to make a layer cake or something that, I don't know if it makes a difference, but it's just like those are easier to clean as well because they always remain clean and I'm not kind of putting very oily ingredients on them.
Sanai, what should you look for in a sheet pan when you're buying one?
So Olga and I both really love Nordic ware sheet pans, and those are the ones that we recommend in our cookbook. They are sturdy, but they're also light, and they're not going to warp in an oven, even if you're using high temperature. We also really like Chicago Metallic, but those are the two brands that we recommend. And we, for our book, we use quarter sheet pans and half sheet pans. So you'll need about two half sheet pans and then one quarter sheet pan if you wanted to cook through the entire book.
I just want to jump back one quick moment to the person who asked about the cleaning. If you find yourself in this like pickle where you have to scrub them like really well, you can use either Barkeeper's Friend or Bon Ami or baking soda. And those are like great. Like if you need to soak them, you can soak them. You know, Sanai swears by soaking them like while she's having dinner, and then they're good. I've soaked mine overnight sometimes for things that are like really stuck on, and then things come right off. But those like the Bon Ami and Barkeeper's Friend are fantastic at getting those things off.
And listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about sheet pans and sheet pan cooking. We're joined by Olga Masov, who's an editor with the Washington Post and a cookbook author, and Sanai Lemoine, who's also a cookbook author and a novelist. They just came out with Hot Sheet, Sweet and Savory Sheet Pan Recipes for Every Day and Celebrations. We're taking your texts, we're taking your calls, we're getting a lot coming in. If you have an opinion or you have a good recipe or you have a good question, oh, you got a good stomach, just give us a call. We're at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Here is a text that I've been very excited to read. It says, just a high schooler with little time, any ideas for a good after school pan sheet snack?
Yes, so many. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, there are so many. I mean, I think Olga's nachos are really incredible, and that's something that I just want to snack on all the time.
I also love your Rice Krispie, the peanut butter chocolate ones.
Yes, and apparently those keep really well in the freezer. My friend made them the other day, and I just keep them in the fridge, but those can be frozen.
How do you make those?
So you don't have to turn on your oven, which is wonderful. And it's Rice Krispies, so you could use brown Rice Krisps or just Rice Krispies, and melted butter and some sweetener and peanut butter. And then there's a little bit of chocolate that's just melted on top. But they are so, so simple.
We also have a Better Than Chex recipe mix where it's like you're customized and you can sort of tweak your spices and your seasonings to your taste buds, like if you want a little more heat or if you want it to be sweeter. And but there's a nice combination
for
that.
Maybe also your quesadilla. That one, it's so simple, and it makes really great leftovers.
And these are all in the book.
They are all in the book. Yes, it's a giant quesadilla the size of a sheet pen.
Wow. So, you know, the high schooler that just texted in, thank you so much. Also, it's 1:30. Are you in your free period? That's what I'm wondering as well. But thanks so much for texting us. We have Tiffany from Carmel, New York. Tiffany, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Tiffany. Do you have experience with sheet pans?
I do, and my experience is I love cooking with sheet pans, except that, like when you were talking about the roasted fish, the top of that fish looks wonderful. The bottom of the fish looks like it still just came out of the lake.
That's what happens. It's fine. Leave that skin on the bottom.
And is there, Tiffany, is there any way to even out the coloring and the cooking?
Yeah.
And so, Olga.
And can we even out the coloring? Can you put it on its side a little? Is there any way to, like, raise it a little with an onion or something? Or do you have any hints on making both sides a little crispy?
I hear you, Tiffany. And thank you for the call. We also had a producer who just from our show who just suggested, what about using a wire rack? Maybe any way that you can think of to get the cooking?
I guess you could try it with a wire rack. I find that what the skin on the bottom does is it protects the meat from like really drying out because it's got all that nice fat to it. And I'll eat the skin on top because it's crispy, and I'll leave the skin on the bottom because that's just the price you pay for
succulent fish.
We do have a recipe that's a whole fish that's coated in a chirmoula sauce. And so it's even the skin on the bottom will be very flavorful because it'll be super seasoned. So that might be a nice recipe to try.
Thank you so much for that call. And, you know, we're getting another text in here. My granny had a sheet pan dedicated to cooking sweet potatoes. All of the sugar in them would come out and it had a deep crust on it from years of use. Another text that I want to point out, which is a good question. Hi, great tips. Do you recommend parchment or tin foil? Thanks, Terry from Stony Brook. Sinai, any ideas?
For some recipes, we do recommend parchment so that the ingredient doesn't stick to the bottom of the sheet pan, just for easier cleanup, especially if it's a cake, for instance, so it'll help you lift it out of the sheet pan. We very rarely use foil in the book, only when we absolutely need it. And in general, we find that like if we're roasting vegetables, we'll just get much better browning if we toss them with some olive oil, oil, and don't use a parchment paper. Because they'll just like get crispier and more caramelized. Mm. So only when we don't want something to stick.
Got it. Let's go to Anna in Williamsburg. Hey, Anna, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's your experience with sheet pans?
Well, I cook with sheet pans rather often. I'm very excited to check out the book. But my favorite thing to do is to use the smaller size, the quarter size sheet pans for multiple different ingredients. That need to be roasted for different lengths of time. So like roasted carrots take longer than roasted onions versus roasted pineapple. So I'll roast them individually and then mix them all together at the end.
Oh, Anna, thank you so much. And, you know, that there's this element of produce as well in the ingredients that you're getting. Olga, are there any considerations for shopping for ingredients in terms of freshness or ripeness that you'd want to keep in mind specifically for sheet pan cooking?
I don't think so. I think It applies the way that you would approach cooking in general is how you want to approach shopping for produce. You want things to look good to you. You want them, you know, preferably be in season. If you have an opportunity and you can afford getting locally grown produce, that's a great way to go because it's always going to be fresher. But I don't think you need to think about sort of, you don't need to get different produce for sheet pans per se. What sheet pans are, however, really, really good for is taking something that might be on its way out or has outlived its like best life, like the strawberries with ricotta that Sinai developed for the book, you know, like maybe the sadder looking strawberries. Don't toss them. Throw them in the oven. Sinai, do you want to talk about that recipe? Because it's so good.
Yeah, they're just these roasted strawberries, actually in a quarter sheet pan, also my favorite size these days because I have a small oven. And they're just tossed with a little bit of olive oil and roasted until they're, you know, really jammy and soft. And then you can serve them over some yogurt, labneh, whatever creamy base you would like to.
So many great recipes, and one theme that we hear through all of them is that with sheet pans, kind of the hassle can go out the window and the food can go in the oven.
And they're so affordable too. Like that's the thing. Like if you think about, like say you have, I don't know if you have an Instant Pot or an air fryer or any of those things, but those things are kind of pricey. I love mine, but they are pricey. Sheet pans are really inexpensive and super affordable. So that's like the appeal too.
Well, we've been talking to Olga Masov, who is an editor with the Washington Post food section, and Sinai Lemoine, who is a novelist, and they're both cookbook authors. The book, Hot Sheet, Sweet and Savory Sheet Pan Recipes for Every Day and Celebrations. Thank you both so much for those tips and for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.